Praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. God is good. He's a good God. Bless His name. Easter is a great time.
It's a great time.
We can celebrate the, well, I'm not going to say the death, but it's the resurrection that we celebrate. You know, anybody can die, but not everybody rises from the dead. Hallelujah. And so far, the one who stayed alive forever and ever and ever and ever,
yes,
is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And that's wonderful. And He stayed alive for you.
He did.
Isn't that great? He died for you, that you might be alive forever.
Amen.
Every one of us.
Yes.
He's died for us.
Yes.
To give us life.
Yes.
New life. So that we have a destiny and a purpose as we live our life on earth. We're not wandering around aimlessly.
No.
Today.
No.
Each and every one of us today has a purpose.
Amen.
Has a future.
Yes.
In God.
Yes,
you have natural purposes, you have natural futures that you work on. But there is a supernatural purpose that God has for you. Amen? He has it for you. We were talking with Stephen. Stephen came to see us the other day, and we were talking about various things of God. And one of the things that came up was that even God knows how many hairs you have in your head. Wow. Sometimes you know, when you brush it, guess what? Some of them fall out, don't they? Oh, hang on. What's happening? Why, you know? God knows. He says, God even knows when a sparrow falls to the ground and dies. Mm. Wow. Today I had the privilege of watching a pair of robins. I've been watching two pair of robins in my garden. Two pair always fly to the bottom of the garden with food. The other pair fly out in the opposite direction. So I know there are two different pairs. And I've been watching this. And today was the day. The young ones had grown up and had got out the nest and were fluttering around, and they were from the ones in the bottom of the garden, and the parents were busily feeding them, and they were there fluttering their feathers and, you know, more, 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 so hungry to be fed, to grow. One of them had got two little tufts on his head, looked like a punk rocker, you know, punk rocker robin, you know. And there they were dashing around the garden, being fed. And as I was looking down the garden, suddenly, out of the corner of my eye, a bird came down the driveway, about 2-3 foot off the ground, at lightning speed, and went down the garden and then up over the trees and out. And I thought, wow. Sparrowhawk looking for somebody,
yeah,
who's not aware,
yeah,
looking for something that's vulnerable,
yeah,
looking for something that is weak,
yeah,
looking for something that is off guard,
yeah.
You know, thankfully I didn't see catch anything,
yeah.
So it carried on and went somewhere else. But I have seen it in the garden with something in its claws. A little bit of a picture at times, you know. Here we are, we're young, we can be young Christians, and we need to be hungry for the Word of God. You know, more, more, I want more. You know, I don't want to go home until I'm fed. I want more. Tell me the old story of Jesus and His love. Tell me the old story. It's the old hymn that we used to sing of Jesus and His love. And as we feed on the Word of God, as we feed in fellowship with one another, we grow stronger. We grow quickly. We're alert. We're watching for the sparrowhawk. We're watching that the devil does not catch us off guard and knocks us over or even destroys us. We're watching. We're able to be strong because the Word of God makes us strong. Jesus came to set you free from the grip, from the claws of the devil. He came to give you life. Last week we were celebrating the fact that Jesus had come into Jerusalem and everybody's celebrating. And there they were shouting, you know, that, wow, you know, this is Jesus, this is the Messiah, he's coming riding on an ass, on a little donkey, something. And they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, rejoice, this is our King. A week later, people change their minds. A week later, people can be influenced by a few words from somebody else. Adam was influenced by a few words. Did God say? Did God say? Just a few words. That's all it took. And Adam went, wonder. And sin entered into humanity. And we lost that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We lost that relationship with God in the Garden of Eden, and sin entered into his heart. Just with, did God say? Just a few words. And here we find, as Jesus has been entering into Jerusalem, they're rejoicing, they're shouting, he's our deliverer, he's going to save us, life is going to change under the Romans. And a week later they're saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Took him a week. Week before they were celebrating, he's the King, he's the one. A week later, kill him, kill him. They were listening to the wrong voices. They listened to the voice of the religious people who said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, kill him. And the Word tells us that in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42, and Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says to them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord. It is marvelous in your eyes. And therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and will be given to a nation producing the fruit of it. And he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, But on whoever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. When the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable, they understood that he was speaking about them. And at that point, they sought to seize him. They feared the multitude because they held him up to be a prophet. At that point, they decided, we're going to kill him. We've had enough. We're going to kill this man. Jesus, the cornerstone. You know, on this building that we're in, around on this corner over here, behind me on the right, your left and my right, is a cornerstone, a foundation stone. And it tells the date when the stone was laid. 2,000 years ago, the cornerstone of Christianity, the cornerstone of salvation for all of humanity, was laid to rest in the tomb. He was laid to rest. And upon his death, my life stands. Upon his resurrection, my life stands. Upon his death, I exist.
Amen.
Upon his death, I exist. And even more so, upon his resurrection, I exist even more.
Amen.
Because he's died for you and he died for me. Hallelujah. It's something to get excited about, because he's given me, he's given you that believe in Christ Jesus, eternal life.
Amen.
Without Christ, I have nothing. Without Christ, I'm nobody. Without Christ, I have nothing. Because of Christ, I have everything. I have a purpose. I have a future. I belong somewhere. I'm a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I'm accepted in the presence of God. I'm loved by God Almighty. When everybody else says they hate you, they say bad words against you, they accuse you of things, God says, I love you, Holly. I love you, Alex. That's the cry from the throne room. And why does he love us? Because Jesus died for your sins, for my sins. That when we stand before God, he looks at you and me and says, you're perfect. You are perfect. You were spotless.
Yeah.
You're without blemish.
Yeah.
You're pure. You're holy. Because God, Jesus died for a holy people. You say, well, I'm not quite holy yet. We're in process. We're getting closer to that place of perfection. We're getting closer to that place of holiness in our walk day by day. But when God looks at you, he says, you're holy.
Amen.
You're righteous. You're pure. You're good. Because the seed that has been planted, the seed of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the Spirit which is planted in us, is an incorruptible seed. It's perfect. It's spotless. It's pure. You know, there's a battle going on. There's a battle going on. The devil wants you. He wants to destroy you. God said, but I want them to be blessed. I want them to have the best. I want them to know my power and to know my presence. And the devil's saying, I want to destroy them. I want to take them down. I want to kill every one of them. I want to stop them being effective for this man named Jesus, this Son of God called Jesus. I want to stop them. And he'll do anything to stop you. He'll do anything to cause you to fall. The Bible says the steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. Now and again he'll trip up. And it says, though he fall, shan't be cast down. Because he says, the Lord reaches down, takes hold of your hand, and he pulls you back up. He dusts you off, and he says, come on, let's do this together. And you begin to walk the walk. You're never, ever alone. Jesus loves you. He died for you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. He's a living, working Savior. And today we celebrate that day that the women went to the tomb and the stone is rolled away. You know, I just think it's quite amazing that these Pharisees think, well, we'll stop him coming out of that tomb. We'll put a seal on it. We'll put some guards on it. That'll keep him in. Listen, you cannot keep God locked up anywhere. You know, we as believers, sometimes we try and lock God in. You know? And I know Christians who will not speak the name of Jesus. And I think, why? Why are you ashamed of the King of Kings? Why are we ashamed of Him that created all things? Why are we ashamed? I used to have people when I was at school say, well, you're a Christian, are they? Yeah. Well, Lord, that's for old ladies and old men, you know, who need crutches to lean on. Well, I've been leaning on Jesus since I was 15.
Amen.
Leaning on Jesus since I've been 15 years old. Not many years, hallelujah. Glory to God. And I tell you what, it has been so exciting.
Amen.
Blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, the dead raised, many sick healed. This is my Jesus. This is the one who holds my hand. This is the one who walks with me. This is the one who rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. I said, he's alive. I declare that to principalities and powers. My Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. You know, when the devil wants to do you harm, just say, Jesus is alive in me. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. We haven't started on the notes yet. Glory to God. He's alive. I'm so excited that Jesus is alive and that he's interested in me. Out of the millions and billions of people that live on the earth, he knows me. Do you know something? He even knows where I live. You don't. No. But God knows where I live. I don't know that. Because those people that have managed to find where I live come to the house and say, do you know something? There's such a peace in this place. And do you know what that peace is? Jesus. See, Jesus has another name. He's called the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
Where the presence of God is, there will be peace. And so, I know God knows where I live. I talk to Him every day. If I get a chance, I'll talk to Him all the time. Because He's interested in what is going on right now. You see, He's died that you and I might live. He's died to give us life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. And Jesus tells a story. Starting at verse 1, and it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. And when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in flasks along with their lamps. For while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep." Sounds a little bit like the church today. It's got drowsy, it's asleep, and the devil is at work.
Yeah.
And the church has gone to sleep.
Yeah.
It is time for the church to arise and take its place.
Yeah.
It is time for the church to stand and to be the light of the world.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Where does Jesus abide today? In you and in me.
Yeah.
Therefore, we are the light.
Amen.
In this dark world.
Amen.
Tells another story, says that you don't hide the lamp underneath some covers, do you? You take it out and you put it on a lampstand so that everybody receives the benefit of the light. When Jesus rose from the dead, He lit the candle. And it's been burning ever since. And that same candle goes round lighting the candle of a person's life. And it continues to burn. And the devil's running round doing this. Trying to put the candles out. Have you ever bought those candles that you light and for a birthday cake and you blow on them, they've gone out and then all of a sudden they pop back into life?
Yeah.
You know, whoa. Done it. Back into light again, you think. That's how we should be. When the devil blows on us, when he tries to knock us out, when he tries to take you out, all that's going to happen is the word of God says, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, and you shall be the light of the world." Here I am. And the light will be seen. The church needs to stop hiding its light. The church needs to start talking about the Lord Jesus, because He's real. He's not an historical figure that died some 2,000 years ago. He's alive today, and today you can communicate with Him. Amen? He's alive. He wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
He's more alive than what I am.
Amen.
Never mind, Charles. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's alive.
Yeah.
And you know, these 10 virgins, can be a little bit like the church. Got my oil, the Word of God. Yeah. Filled my lamp with the Word of God. Don't need any more. Got all I need. And after a while it begins to wane. It begins to run out. And the only way you can refill it is you have to take the Word and begin to read it again. And again. And the foolish ones said, I've got enough now. I've got what I need. And there are many people who give their lives to Christ. And they get some of the Word and they just tuck it away and hide it. And after a while, they begin to wither up and die because they're growing bigger than that part of the Word can sustain them. And so to continue to grow, you need to continue to read the Word of God. You continue to speak to God and God speaks to you. The Word is like water upon our lives. It's like having a plant in a plant pot. Somebody brings you a beautiful plant. We gave some plants out for Mother's Day. I hope they're still alive. I hope you remembered to water them. Ours is still alive. Why? Because somebody remembered to put some water on the plant. If you like Grace, she forgets. And then one day, you see the leaves on the plant, and instead of being like this, they're like this. You walk past the plant, you think, what's wrong with this? You go over the pot and you think, it's going to be heavy. It's bone dry. And a lot of Christians today are bone dry. And there's no life. The life has drained out of them. And the water you pour in. You pour that water into that plant pot, and within a few hours, it's back up again. Looking good. We need to take the Word of God every day. Feed on it. Jesus said, I'm the Word of life. I come to give you light. Come to give you the presence of my Heavenly Father. I've come to break down that stone wall. I've come to bridge the gap between you and my Heavenly Father so that you can cross over and meet Him. So that you can have conversation with Him. So that you can spend time with Him. This is what Easter is all about. I don't focus so much on the death. I focus on the fact that He's alive. Because if He stayed dead, then I'm a dead duck. You know, it's not going to work, is it? It's finished. If He'd have stayed in the tomb, it's all over. But actually, when He came out of the tomb, it just began.
Amen.
It began again. Hallelujah. It began again. You know, and we are the ones who can be there in the beginning and the end of it all. As we let Christ live within us and live through us. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Oh, people will call you names. Sometimes it hurts, I agree. Sometimes it just seem quite painful. But it only lasts for a short period of time. When you just think, I'm going to ignore that, I'm going to read the Word of God, and you listen to what your Heavenly Father thinks of you. He thinks you're wonderful. He thinks you're beautiful. He thinks you're precious. He says you're holy. He says you're righteous. He says you're good. He said he's chosen you. He's chosen you to be part of his family. You weren't an accident looking for somewhere to be born. You know, there are parents today, and I know this is our society that we live in today, where you have one parent families, and in some cases the child is an accident, had to be born. But you know, today God doesn't go around saying, oh, you're an accident that's just happened, I'll have to take you in. No, he's looking for you, he's calling you, he's calling you into birth, he's calling you into being, he's calling your name. He says he knows your name. Because he's your father. He's your eternal father. And all of this happens through the fact that he rose from the dead. He rose victorious from the dead. And today, he's alive. Today, he's alive. I'm so excited. I can't say it enough. He's alive. He's alive. He's died for everything that I've ever done wrong. Everything that I will ever do wrong. He's died for that. And as I say, he looks at each and every one of us and says, you're precious. You're special. You're holy. I've chosen you. And the devil, Sidney, I'm not going to call you the devil, but grab hold of Alex's hand. Yeah. And here you have, there's this battle going on. Paul, there's a battle going on. And we're being pulled apart. We're being stretched. And the enemy's trying to hold us back. And suddenly when you say, in the name of Jesus, Lisa, the strain is over. The battle is won. And freedom. Yeah! Freedom! Thank you. Freedom comes in Jesus' name. He whom the Son sets free is free. We weren't born in Christ to be prisoners. We're not born in Christ to sort of suffer under the rule of Jesus Christ. We're called to rule and to reign with him. We're called to be partakers of the heavenly blessing. We're called to be the men and women of God that reach out to other men and women and bring in the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is salvation, healing, deliverance, blessings and prosperity of God in our lives. And that's what we're called into. And you know, we have to be like the wise virgins. Keep topping up with the oil. Keep the word of God. Don't just leave it occasionally, but regularly. How often do you eat? Twice a day? 3 times a day? 4 times a day? I usually manage to get 4 different sessions in during the day, just to keep up my strength. Some are small meals, some are bigger meals. But I'm feeding this body to keep it strong. And in the same way, we need to feed our spirit. When we're born of God, we're born of the Spirit of God, and we need to feed our spirit with the Word of God. Be partakers of Jesus Christ. And one final thing I want to bring to you as a church. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Are we all there? But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, and this is what we need to catch hold of. This is the voice of the living Christ. Some of you have it in red in your Bible. And he said this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Did you hear that? Go. Go. Go is a command. Go is a sending word. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, who's a disciple? Who's a disciple here? Oh, I'm glad there's three or four of us. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus has said to the disciples, go. I'm sending you. What's he sending us for? He says, go and make more disciples.
Amen.
Of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I command you. And lo, behold, take note, I'm with you. I'm with you. Always. Even to the very end of the age. To the very end of the world's time. I'm going to be with you. The thing we have to do as disciples of the Lord Jesus is to be goers. Be goers. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
You know, praise God. Are you sick? I'll pray for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Has somebody died? Well, let's go and pray for them and raise them from the dead. Oh, you can't do that. Why? It says so in the Bible. Does it not say, lay hands on the sick, raise the dead? Does it say that? Yeah? No? Does it say, raise the dead? Yeah? You sure? You're positive. Come on, I need you to be positive about these things. Does it say, raise the dead? Yeah? Stand up, Joe. Turn around. See this lady here. A few years ago, before we came to this building, we were in a church prayer meeting. Bible study. This is what our Bible studies can be like. Okay? Joan dies in the meeting. She sat down. And all of a sudden, and the death mask. Have you ever seen anybody dead? Have you seen a dead person? There's a mask of death on them. She's there. And I looked at her and I thought, I'd seen death. And I said, we need to pray. And we all, at that prayer meeting, Bible study, started to pray, praying in tongues and laying hands on her in the name of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, you know, the devil's only about 6 inches tall, stands on your shoulder, and he's able to whisper into your ear. Okay? Well, he was hollering in mine, and he said to me, you are going to look an absolute fool tomorrow morning, aren't you? When the headlines on the newspapers says, preacher didn't call for an ambulance and let a woman die in church. That is what I am being bombarded with. Right? So he said, you need to call an ambulance. I am doing. It's J-E-S-U-S. And I am battling with these thoughts going on in my mind. We as a church prayed and prayed. We prayed for 10 minutes, and then suddenly the death mask lifted. And this lady is still alive today. And praising and worshipping the living God, because Jesus is a healing Jesus. He's a risen Saviour. He's a glorious Lord. He's the one who raises people from the dead. She's done what Lazarus did. You know, she's a living Lazarus today. Hallelujah. Thank you. Huh? 11 years ago. Oh, hallelujah. I serve a God that does it work. Come on. This is my Jesus. This is the one who rose again from the dead. This is the result that Jesus lived. And you know, it is that you and I have to be a church that says, yes, Lord. What shall I do, Lord? He says, lay hands on the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You have to be a church that is vibrant. You have to be a church that is, I am not ashamed of my Jesus. Not ashamed of my Jesus. And if you're not ashamed of Him, He's not ashamed of you. He'll stand before the devil and say, don't touch my sons. Don't touch my daughters. Don't touch my kids. So I'll give you another whooping. I've beaten the living daylights out of him once. And his destination is eternal damnation. Because he's risen. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's alive! He's alive! He's risen! He is risen from the dead! Hallelujah! Come on, church, get in praise! Hallelujah! This should set us up for the rest of the year. Glory to God. Come on, you know. Let's, you know, signs, wonders and miracles. Make disciples. People who will be disciplined followers of the Lord Jesus. Today there's no discipline in the world. Today we just want quick, easy meals. Oh, I can't be bothered going to church. Why should I go and listen to Andrew spout on all that time? Because we're here to feed. We're here to what God, is saying. And as we come together with our, each and every one of us has an anointing, and we bring the anointing of God together, and it increases. And that's the ground for miracles. That's the ground for signs, wonders, and miracles. And all those that have given their lives to Christ over the last couple of years, we just need to keep calling the names.
Yes.
Keep calling the names.
Yes.
Keep praying for them.
Amen.
And what we need to be in front of them is a light.
Amen.
Pure.
Yes.
Holy.
Yes.
Unto the Lord Jesus Christ. A light. Filled with the oil of God. Filled with the Word of God. That we might shine. You know, Graham Kendrick wrote a song, very famous song, but it became famous. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Yeah, blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. You know, we could change that a little bit, look, and we could say, shine Jesus through me. Shine in me. Shine Jesus in me. Shine Jesus in me. Let my heart be set ablaze. That the world outside would want something, would want to taste and see that God is good.
Yes.
Come on, church.
Thank you, Lord.
Shake yourselves. Shake yourselves. Don't let the devil hold you down. Don't let the devil entomb you with his lies. Come on. He wants to keep a stopper on you. He wants you to stop being a light. He wants to stop you being a mouthpiece of the good news of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, when the Word of God sets on fire within you, it will explode out of you. You'll no longer be locked in a tomb of fear and doubt and unbelief, but the light of God will come shining out of you.
Amen.
And you will be life changers.
Amen.
Life changers to many. And you know, you will be ones who will lead many to Christ.
Amen.
Because the light of God is in you. The world wants to stop you. The world wants you to be different. The world wants you, well, I said be different. The world wants you to be like it, full of sin and degradation, full of twisted thinking. You know, what parents, same-sex families, having children, that is not godly. God hates that sin. He loves the individual. But you see, their minds have been twisted, and society today twists our minds. If they bombard you with enough, and you don't have the strength of the Word of God in you, you will compromise. You will fall into line with what the world is saying. But you know, God has a higher standard. God wants to take you to another level. God wants you to know how much He loves you, and that to live at the world's level, you're living below what God wants for you. You're living below it. God wants more for you. He wants more for the people outside than what they've got now. He's not like a government that gives you a little bit with one hand and takes a bunch away with the other. God's saying, come on, just give me your life. Just give me your life. How long are you going to live for? What do you reckon?
80 years.
Okay, yeah, around 80 years or so. Could be longer, could be shorter. Depends how we treat, how we look after this vessel. Yeah. And God's saying, give me your 80 years or so.
Yeah.
Because do you know what I'm going to give you in return?
Okay.
I'm going to give you eternity.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you live forever.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a life that goes on forever and ever and ever, and it will affect others. And, oh, and by the way, he says, this 80 odd years that you will have on this earth, I am going to make it so happy, so exciting, so different to everybody else's, that people will look at you and say, what is it that you've got that makes you so happy, so at peace? And you go in so many places and you're having such a great time. You know, you're not on cigarettes, and you're not having to knock the drink back, and you're not having to inject into your body to get this, oh man, you know, now I really feel great, you know. Yeah, that was good, wasn't it, you know. And then the next morning, oh God, oh. What happened last night? I have no idea. Oh great, what good's that, you know? I can remember what happened all those years ago, and I had such a great time. I got so high in God. Ah,
man. You know, I'm sure drugs can't get me that high. You know, and I can be up there in the heavenly realm in the presence of God and feel the hand of God on me and the voice of God speaking to me. The Almighty, the Creator of everything that exists. And I'm high in God. You see, I'm addicted. I have an addiction. I'm addicted to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm addicted to Jesus. I can't get enough. You know? I can't shoot up enough times with Jesus. I can't drink enough of Jesus. I'm addicted to Jesus. And you know, today, if the world was addicted to Jesus, oh, things will be different. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this day, this resurrection day. We thank you for this new day, this day of life, this day of joy, this day of excitement, Lord. That even the angels rejoice at the risen Savior. And so, Lord, we rejoice with heavenly beings at this resurrection life that is in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray that, Lord, this day people will give their lives to Christ. And Lord, that their lives and their futures and their destinies, Lord, will be changed. And they will find a Savior. They will find a God who loves them and died for them and cares for them and has come that they might have life and life with an abundance. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I hope you've been encouraged. I want to see you raising the dead. I want to see you healing the sick. I want to see you getting souls saved. I should be so excited, and if I get excited, God gets even more excited. You know, when God starts jumping up and down in heaven on his throne, the angels rejoicing of what is going on the earth, that the sons of Adam are fulfilling the destinies in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. We're going to sing a song in a few moments anyway.